Hey there, welcome to the Creative Classroom Podcast. I'm your host, John Spencer. I'm a former middle school teacher, current college professor, and I am passionate about seeing teachers transform their classrooms into bastions of creativity and wonder. And so on this podcast, I share ideas and strategies and blueprints. I tell stories. I share some of my big epic fails that I've made along the way. I interview experts because I'm still learning as well. But I believe that ultimately teachers play a profound role in helping students reach their creative potential. And today we're going to be talking about this idea of creativity, and in particular, something called creative momentum. Now, although this is about the classrooms, it's not just about the classroom. It's also about this idea of the creative work that we do on our own. I'm a huge fan of this idea of genius hour, of teachers doing creative work outside the domain of education, outside of creating work for fellow educators or work for their students, but simply engaging in a creative act on their own. And so we're going to be talking about this idea of creative momentum and what that means and what that looks like. And I'm going to start off by just telling you a brief story of a moment where I'm thinking about creative momentum outside of teaching. So I stare at the blinking cursor, an apt term for the blank page rhythmically lulling me into a curse of nothingness, slowly gaining inertia with every passing second. It's a silent metronome counting down the time I have not written anything. It's a quiet loop on repeat, setting the tone for my spiraling questions and fears and insecurities. What if this isn't good enough? What if this is a waste of time? What if I'm not really a writer? What if? And so I begin to ask myself, why do I even bother with fiction? No, I'm a writer, I remind myself. It's been 7 months since I worked on fiction, but I write daily. I publish articles. I work on education books. I work on journal articles. I write all the time. But the blinking cursor continues its loop as I stare into the white void of an empty Word document. I take a deep breath and set my timer. 22 minutes. That's all I need to do. I turn the Wi-Fi off on my laptop and take another deep breath. I glance at my note card reading, "This could fail, and that's okay." I remind myself that failure is permanent and failing is temporary. Success isn't about quality. It's not even about word count at this point. It's about 22 minutes of writing. I then light my writing candle and press the start button on my timer. And so it begins. Awkward phrases, clunky sentences. I feel the way that I felt when I first got back into running. You know what I mean? Where you could feel the pain in every step. But somewhere along the line, something clicks. I experience the runner's high of writing. I get lost in the world of creating. I slap the stop button on the timer when it goes off, and I continue to write. And when it's done, I have a mere 700 words. Not great words, not well-constructed sentences, certainly not an epic story, but I've done it. And I'll continue that ritual tomorrow and the next day and the next day, and slowly I will build creative momentum. Creative habits are hard to develop. And that's because creative work is, well, frustrating at first. Sometimes it's the tyranny of the urgent that gets in the way. We have pressing demands that call upon our attention at all times. For me, it's grading. I'm teaching 4 courses this summer, and I can easily justify focusing on student feedback before sitting down to write. Or it's that kitchen project I'm doing. We bought a new house, and I've been sanding the cabinets in preparation for painting them. The cabinets feel pressing and immediate. writing fiction feels, well, like a luxury. Other times it's fear or insecurity. That tiny voice keeps telling you that your work isn't good enough and that you're simply wasting your time. You feel like you don't know what you're doing, and you constantly ask yourself if you're doing it the right way. A dominant question here is, am I good enough? And often the answer is actually no, not yet. Which can feel like it might actually be no, not yet, and maybe not ever. Things feel slower. You haven't hit that place of creative fluency where you can spend hours lost in a task. Everything seems difficult. The quality isn't quite there either. You're able to identify quality work in others, but you can't seem to pull it off on your own, and that feels, well, frustrating. The same thing happens when you start lifting weights or running. You're slow, you're sloppy, you're weak, and that's okay. Everything takes a long time. Progress seems painfully slow at first. You don't have the capacity or the stamina that others seem to have. And everything seems new to you, not in that cool, exciting novelty kind of way, but the new in which you feel lost. In other words, the early stages in your creative journey can feel like the first few minutes of getting into running or weightlifting or yoga or whatever it may be. It is painful, it's confusing, and everyone around you seems to know what they're doing and you don't. Sometimes you get up in the morning and you just don't feel like engaging in that creative work. Over time, though, you build creative momentum. And when there's enough momentum, you end up improving. And over the long run, you create something epic. And you become competent. And if you're lucky, over time, you become really good at your craft. And you become prolific. But it all starts with that very beginning of creating momentum. My initial writing ritual probably seems silly. Turn on off the Wi-Fi, read a note to myself, set a timer, light a candle. But there's a purpose to this ritual. This ritual is a daily habit. But it's more than that. It's a chance to build momentum. I'm creating early wins that build up so that I can face that blinking cursor and start writing. I kind of imagine it a little bit as that, you know, old school lawnmower where you yank that rope, whatever it's called, and slowly the engine starts going and you do it over and over again and suddenly you've got that lawnmower going slow at first, engine turning over, and eventually it happens. That's creative momentum. Creative habits are important. Habits help us move into a place of automaticity. I love how Charles Duhigg puts it in The Power of Habit. Champions don't do extraordinary things. They do ordinary things, but they do them without thinking too fast for the other team to react. They follow the habits they've learned. I think, although what he's talking about right there has to do with teams, I think the same thing is true of creative work. We follow the habits we've learned. It becomes automatic. But habits alone aren't enough to keep going. There's an inherent flaw in the automaticity of habit. We can shift into a place of stagnation. We end up like that band that creates a fourth album that sounds like a retread of the previous three albums. We grow risk averse, not out of fear, but out of complacency. We hit a plateau and coast on that plateau without even realizing that we've coasted. Meanwhile, we shift into a place where we work so quickly that we end up making key mistakes. This is why, as a classroom teacher, I changed from social studies in my first 5 years to self-contained, to coaching, to ultimately photojournalism and STEM. I needed new challenges to avoid the complacency of automaticity that I was seeing within myself. You can think about it this way. Think of habit like a flat line. you're doing something consistently over and over and over again, and over time, that can become, well, kind of boring. Now, that's important. You need consistency, but that's not enough. To reach the next level, you also need to improve in your craft. You need to learn and grow. You need to do more, and you need to do it better. And this is why we include skill development as the second variable in creative momentum. Creative momentum is similar to a creative habit, but it combines habits with improvements. When you experience creative momentum, you take the craft to the next level by combining habits and skill development. You focus on the creative process, but you're cognizant of the end result and the final product. So again, if you imagine improvement and time, over time, habits is a flat line, which is still good. You're still getting a lot done. But momentum is continuing slowly over time, starting out small in the beginning, very small. A small amount of time writing, right? 22 minutes, and later you'll move up to, say, 50 minutes or 90 minutes. But also improvement on the craft itself, slowly getting better and better and better. Note that consistency alone can help build habits, but combining consistency with continual improvement can lead to this creative momentum. Slowly you start improving and building up your creative endurance, and eventually it gets easier to engage in daily creative work. Meanwhile, your work itself is becoming better. Better here might be faster with improved fluency, but it also might include improving your craft, engaging in a better process, and often feeling better about the work that you do. So your process and your products become better. It's in this stage that you often experience a sense of flow in your creative work. If you've ever experienced flow, it's when time seems to stand still, but it also goes by super fast. You seem to have this connection between what you're doing in terms of the skill level and the challenge at hand, where what you're working on is just a little bit harder than your ability, and then you reach that as you go. So what does this mean? What do we do? Well, I think one of the answers is to start off by gamifying your creative process. Exercise apps and fitness organizations have found success in helping people develop fitness habits by using elements of gamification. Video games are designed to be habitual, but they're also designed to build momentum, right? To help you move on from something small to something harder and harder and harder. And I would argue that's the same thing we need to do with our creative work. By using elements of gamification, we can develop creative momentum. Now, here's what I mean. Make it easy to start. Games work when the barrier of entry is low. Similarly, in developing creative habits, you might want to start with an easy goal. So 10 minutes a day to learn how to play a new instrument, or 100 words a day when it comes to writing. You can also start off with smaller projects that allow you to hit the finish line faster, writing a short story before writing a novel, for example. By making our goals easier to attain and experiencing some early big wins, we gain confidence and are then able to stick with a habit over time. As you improve, you can increase the challenge incrementally. You can create levels for yourself. And as you go, you can also track your progress. You might have a progress bar or a series of tally marks. You might create badges for yourself. Whatever it may be, you want to have these moments where you can be keeping track visually of what you're doing. You might create celebrations when you're done. You might, for example, have a streak that you're keeping of a certain amount of days of writing in a row, and then you create this reward or celebration when you hit a benchmark. You might need visual cues. On phones, we have alerts and notifications, but you can create notifications by having visual cues in your physical environment. For example, if you want to read 50 books in a year, leave books throughout your home. Maybe change your first front screen of your phone to have the Kindle app instead of having social media. Whatever it may be, you create those visual cues. And finally, creating rituals. Video games have a sense of ritual. They bring you in. There's something about turning it on, going to the menu screen, things like that. And I would argue that we need to do the same thing. Again, I brought this up before, but I have a set of rituals that create a sense of progression and early wins when it comes to my writing process. I have a friend that does something similar, but he creates a playlist, and there's a instrumental playlist, and by the end of the first song, he wants to have begun the process of painting. I have another friend who puts on a necklace. It's like a lei from Hawaii, and he puts it on, and he uses that to remind himself that it is time to begin writing. And when he has that necklace on, he is a writer. And it creates this sense of ritual in what he's doing. It's powerful. All right, so what does this actually mean for schools? The short answer is, I don't know. The truth is that schools are vastly different from the way that creative work happens outside of schools, right? When I engage in creative work on my own, I don't have bell schedules. I don't have classes that I have to change from. I don't have standards that I have to meet. I mean, it is a very different situation. But I do know this. If we want students to grow into creative thinkers, they need more time to hit a state of creative fluency. Creative work can't simply be a culminating activity or a fun project you do once the real work is finished. Creative work is the real work. But to do that, we need students to hit a place of creative momentum. Teachers can't control the bell schedule or packed curriculum map, but they can still infuse their units with creative thinking. Project-based learning and design thinking are content neutral, which means they work in every subject. We as educators can incorporate creative thinking into our lessons by doing things like PBL and design thinking. What we need to be able to do is reimagine our lessons and units to provide as many creative opportunities as possible. When this happens, it won't always be pretty. Students will hit moments of boredom and frustration and confusion. After all, it's going to be tough. But the truth is, if we create these elements of creative momentum, if we design our units in a way that allows students to build those habits and to get slowly better and better, we can find that they'll actually hit a place of creative momentum. I'm going to give a small example of this. When my students did their NaNoWriMo projects, which is like where they write a novel over the month of November, they started in October by planning out their projects. We did several short stories connected to the novels they would write. We planned for tension and suspense. We went over character sketches. They outlined their books. It was a lot, right? And then we started early. In other words, we cheated on the rules of NaNoWriMo. Midway through October, they began actually writing their books. And they started small at 200 words per day and gradually built momentum so that they would start on November with 4,000 or so words already written. This created a sense of momentum going into the project. Getting started was no longer a big deal. They had already gotten started on the start date. They were ahead of schedule. Ultimately, creative momentum will always be a challenge, right? It's tough to do this in school. It's tough to do this in life. But we can be intentional about designing our units in a way that gradually builds up the momentum so that students improve while also developing those creative habits. Hey, thank you so much for listening to this podcast. Would you do me a favor? If you enjoy this podcast, would you leave a review on Apple Podcasts or Stitcher or wherever it is that you listen to it. Would you also tell a friend about it? Word of mouth is one of the best ways to get people interested in something like a podcast. So again, thank you so much for listening. Have a wonderful day and go out and make something awesome.